Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's Premier Foods Quarter One Trading Update call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. And I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Gavin Darby. Please go ahead.
Good morning to you all. Thank you for joining this, our Quarter One Trading Update call, covering the 13 weeks, the first 13 weeks of the financial year. And it ran until, well, the financial year runs until the 30th of March. This ran up until the 30th of June 2018, obviously joined by Alistair. At the group level, I'm pleased with the progress we've made. Obviously, this is the least important quarter in terms of sales in the year, but we grew 1.7% in the quarter compared to a year ago. Looking at the split between branded and non-branded sales, both areas displayed progress with brands up 1.1% and non-branded growing 4.8%. The grocery business was in slight growth, plus 0.2%, but as I'll describe in a bit more detail, Minute Sweet Treats was really the strong performance. It grew revenue 5.5%. Now, you may recall that last year, the last fiscal year, 52 weeks, we grew 3.6%, and we finished with a particularly strong fourth quarter of plus 7%. And we mentioned many times that we would not continue at 7% because it was being flattered by a couple of factors in quarter four, which indeed, to some degree, would reverse in quarter one. In particular, quarter four last year benefited from a strong international performance. I'll come back to that. But most importantly, Easter moves often, as we all know, from either quarter four to quarter one and vice versa. It strengthened our quarter four, and this quarter was obviously the flip side. So I'll come back to that in a minute. If one takes the first half of the calendar year, why is that sensible? Because that actually averages out, particularly Easter. So if you take the first 6 months of the calendar year, then our sales grew a very healthy 4.5%. As I say, I quote that because it averages out the move for Easter. Let's go for some of the detail. I mean, clearly leading the charge in quarter one was Mr. Kipling. This is incredibly important. Mr. Kipling is our biggest brand. And some of you have worried that its sales were soft in the first part of last year. Actually, it had a good quarter four, and it continued very strongly with a plus 14%. So Mr. Kipling sales grew plus 14% in the UK in this first quarter. Why? We undertook an important brand relaunch in March. We revamped the logo. We updated and modified the packaging to make sure it's modern, and the significant number of individual selling lines such as Angel Delight, Lemon Slices, etc., all were clear and distinct on shelf. And most importantly, we also ran new TV advertising in both March last year and in April this financial year. On top of that, we've launched some new Mr. Kipling products, fruit slices. We've discussed before, come in at an average of just 92 calories per slice, and we launched a range of unicorn slices, which since their launch in February this year, we've sold more than 10 million unicorn slices. On the other side, because of the Easter move, Cadbury sales, as expected, were lower, and this, indeed, just the Cadbury impact and Easter impact, if you calculated, effectively took 130 basis points off group sales in this quarter that, as I said earlier, were in quarter four. Batchelors is our number three brand. It had another strong quarter. I think this is the sixth consecutive quarter of growth. Why is that important? It means that, by definition, we're cycling big things we did with Batchelors 5 to 6 quarters ago. So we're cycling our own growth, which is very encouraging when it comes to sustainability. Super Noodles, the Super Noodles pot product and pasta and salt pot alone contributed nearly $3 million of sales in the quarter and grew by a massive 50% versus the prior year. Nissin brands that we distribute, Soba and Cup Noodle, delivered nearly $750,000 of sales in the quarter. And given that that's from a year ago, pretty well a standing start, you know, they have now 1.3% market share of the quick meal snacks and soup market. Elsewhere, and those of you who joined us in our Capital Markets Day or analyst visit a couple of weeks ago would have heard how we have revitalized Angel Delight. The brands benefited from the launch of, as you know, some of you ready-to-eat pots. These have proved very popular, and the momentum has continued. Again, once again, important because we need to cycle things we did a year ago for Angel Delight with sales plus 17%. On the other side, Bisto sales were definitely lower in the quarter, as we saw, perhaps not surprisingly, less people buying gravy in the recent hotter weather. Lloyd Grossman sources were lower because of promotional phasing changes compared to the prior year. On the positive side, both Sharwood's and Home Price saw sales increased versus prior year. Moving to international, the progress continued. Sales were up 4%. You may recall that follows a plus 34% in the last quarter. And we mentioned at the time that that 34% was flattered to an extent by higher customer orders, particularly in Australia, where Australian customers have ordered and built stock in their pipeline, and that is working through the system. So while quarter one sales weren't as strong as that plus 34%, if you average these two quarters, which gives it a much better reflection of international progress, then for the first calendar half, international grew 20%. Clearly, we're very pleased with international. It's a critical strategy. We've nearly doubled the business in the last 3 years. And while this quarter and perhaps the early part of next quarter have been affected by this pipeline headwind, you know, we have great confidence in the plans for the rest of the year. Non-branded business, again, delivered a solid performance in the quarter, which is pleasing. As you will recall, about half the non-branded business actually comes from our two B2B companies, Knight and Foods and Charnwood Foods. As you know, these businesses don't compete with our core supermarket business. Elsewhere, we did see some contract wins in stuffing and in our food service business. Most importantly, supply chain. You'll be aware that we're in the midst of a root and branch, very significant change to our supply chain. We have now completed the second of the three phases, which means that all of our grocery business has moved from previous distribution centers into our new logistics center in Tamworth, and that was completed in this quarter. And the final phase, the third phase, which is the sweet treats cake phase, is due to go live in August. And the plan is to get that all done before we ramp up for, obviously, the very busy run into Christmas. On the financing front, as we previously announced, we were pleased to complete the issuance of a new fixed-rate bond of $300 million in a quarter, a coupon of 6.25%. That's 25 basis points lower than the retired notes. At the same time, we also reduced the quantum and extended the tenor of our tenure of our revolving credit facility with our supportive bank group to the end of 2022. So in summary, the year started broadly in line with our expectations. We're particularly pleased with the big momentum quarter four and again accelerating in quarter one for Mr. Kipling. And Batchelors, our number three brand, continues to go well into its sixth quarter, so our expectations for progress in the year are unchanged. As we said in May, this progress, as it was last year, will be weighted to the second half of the year. Thank you for your attention, and now let's go back to the operator, and Alistair and I will be delighted to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. And to cancel your request, you will need to press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Arthur Reeves. Please ask your question.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the update. I've actually got four questions. Maybe that's taking too many, but let me start with the first couple. What would growth in the quarter have been without bachelors, please, is my first question. And my second question is, consensus, I think, for sales is for a 2% growth in sales for the full year. Are you happy with that consensus?
Well, if we do the second one, well, you can absolutely guarantee that neither of us have the answer to the first question at hand, and you'd be surprised if we did. Yes, I'm happy with the consensus of 2% on sales. Let's come back, Arthur, in a minute. We'll look and see if we can find the numbers to your first question. Why don't you have a crack with number three and four?
Thank you. Well, number three is about your cost-saving initiatives.
Yeah.
You told us that they would save 20 million. Is that still the number you're looking for from those two initiatives? And number four is, can you give us any update on the two private label contracts you lost in Sweet Treats, please?
Well, number three, cost savings. Yes, we talked about 10 million, if I recall, of SG&A savings. You remember that? They were in the bank and delivered. We had a second 10 million to your accurate recollection, which comes from the logistics and manufacturing side. You know, I talked just a minute ago about the fact that we've done the first two-thirds of our logistics rationalization. So obviously we're getting the cost benefits in there, but we've got a lot more to do. We've got the cake rationalization, which falls largely the benefit into H2. Another important reason why we're a bit backloaded in terms of our H1, H2 financial profile. So no, bottom line is very confident with the 20 million. The two contracts, as you well know, having been in industry for a long time, Arthur, you know, private label contracts are annual contracts. They come and go. We've said many times that we have a very strict financial criteria. We're not going to take contracts that don't make money. We obviously look at the benefit that we get from overhead recovery, but we also look more than that. And, you know, we've won the whole stream over the last couple of years. And it'd be surprising if every now and again we didn't lose a couple. I think that's as far as I would go. Alistair, anything?
Yeah,
question?
I think just to chip in on those private label contracts, it's just worth understanding that in terms of quantum, and you can see actually on the sort of the back of the RNS, what we sell in a quarter in non-branded sweet treats, which is about £7.5 million worth of sales. So although this looks like quite a high percentage, it actually equates to 400k of lost turnover, and clearly,
okay,
of our total turnover, that would be much at the lower end of the margin. So in terms of, you know, what does that mean for profit? You know, that's not something that we regard as really very significant, but that's, of course, the numbers. In terms of your first question, it's not something we publish, but I think it would be fair to say that the 1.7% absent the growth in bachelors would probably have been closer to the 1 than the 1.7 that we reported, just to give you a sort of general sense of what that would look like.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Martin Deboo. Please ask your question.
Morning, gentlemen. Martin Deboo at Jefferies. It was just a small one. You've put this commitment in the outlook statement to reduce net debt by 25 million per annum.
Mm-hmm.
Just intrigued why you've done that, and does that it's pretty much what consensus already has for this year, but so in that sense it's undramatic, but just what has given you the confidence to sort of pin down to a number on debt reduction?
I'll take that one, Martin. I think the first thing to say is that I don't think this is really new news. We've talked about that target very often, very frequently, in the context of how we then kind of reverse engineer from that into what we can afford to put into the pension scheme, so it's not new news. We just felt it was helpful to refer to it in this RNS statement, you know, for anyone that wasn't aware of that, you know, just good practice to make sure it was there. But it's not a new target. And I would have thought the vast majority of people on the call would be aware that our sort of internal targeting has been based around that 25 million figure.
You described it, Martin, as a small point, but it is still a very important point. And as I agree with Alistair, you know, we've talked about this. We tend to talk about it, though, multiple times. I'm not sure we've actually ever written it down in that fashion. So we thought, yeah, you know, this is well understood. As Alistair says, the, you know, we rather surprised and overshot consensus last year on the net debt front. So we thought it was just in terms of transparency and clarity. I mean, that's clearly the premise that most people have invested in the company, and that's the background, that's the investment thesis, which is, you know, a deleveraging strategy, you know. So let's be transparent and be 100% clear and black and white and in line with things that we've said. So that's yep, why we went that extra.
And it's not far off. You know, consensus is pretty close to that anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Faham Baig. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. A couple of questions from me. Clearly, Mr. Kipling has seen a very successful brand relaunch in the first quarter. But I also note that there are further exciting innovations across the portfolio in the remainder of the year. Could you help us identify some of those launches? Where are we likely to see them? Whether it's Bachelors, Bisto, or anything else? And secondly, on the international. Growth has clearly slowed, but that as you said at the start of the call is expected, given a strong Q4. Are we still safe to target the high teens growth rate that we were suggesting at the start of the year, or could that be slightly impeded just given the strength of the growth last year?
Okay, thank you. I'll take them both. Well, as we shared with many people at the Capital Markets Day, we have tripled the rate of our innovation. So there's a lot more to come. Bachelors would be a big focus. We've launched just recently and are rolling out the super rice and sauce. We've got a whole stream of pot products coming from Bachelors. So much more on Bachelors. We'll be seeing Sharwood's go into pots for the first time. We have got a range of Loic Grossman products disproportionately focusing on reduced sugar and risotto kits coming in the future, home fried new products, Bisto new products, OXO launching premium OXO cube. I mean, I can go through many of the different brands, and the key thing is they all have a stream of new products. That's why we tended to focus on, to demonstrate that point, on the small ones like Angel Diet and Saxo. So there's plenty of new products to come, and we will see the rate of our launch of innovation and new products and the proportion of products and sales that come from innovation continue to grow. I think on the second question, which is international, I think we would expect to see international to continue to grow in the mid to high teens. I think that it'll vary by quarter. It will always be much the most lumpy business we have because long supply chains, you know, we've got a really interesting business, as you know, in Australia. Takes between 3 and 4 months to get to a store. We've just opened up a business in New Zealand, as you know. We're making good progress in South Africa, and we'll have plans during the year in the U.S. So with the length of the supply chain, as we introduce new products, sometimes as we fill shelves for the first time or the pipeline with new SKUs, then certainly the combination of those two means it's a bit more lumpy than the rest of our business, but I think we're happy with the mid to high teens.
But I think it is fair to say that that, you know, the comment about progress weighted towards the second half would be very true for the international business.
Yeah, for the reasons I just described.
Yeah, for those reasons.
Many thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Roland French. Please ask your question. Mr. Roland French, please ask your question.
Sorry, apologies, I was on mute. I have two questions, please. Just firstly, in relation to your raw material costs, could you give some colour around input cost inflation and recovery in context of both food and non-food, just noting kind of PET and aluminium inflation in the market? That's the first question. And then I guess secondly, I note in the outlook statement there's reference to looking at strategic opportunities to create value for shareholders, and clearly you've referenced this as a part of any board's job, but I guess more specifically, if you could, I guess give some colour as to how we should think about a scenario playing out in context of an asset realisation and the cash proceeds waterfall. Is there a legal documented route with the pension trustees, or is this very much a negotiation if such scenario happens? Thanks.
Well, I'll do the latter one, then Alistair can do the raw material. I mean, I don't think there's any more colour to add, candidly, Roland. I mean, we've been clear that we've been happy to look at things like asset sales. I think we made a reference to that in June last year in an RNS. We made a reference to it again in January in an RNS, and clearly there's been multiple references to that in the last weeks, as you will have noted. So I think the board has been crystal clear. I think the phrase that we used is opportunities in addition to the kind of base plan to accelerate the pace of the turnaround. So there's really nothing to add. I think it would be absolutely crystal clear if there's any doubt that the board happy to look and will continue to look at any opportunities and consider any incoming opportunities in that regard.
Sure, and I guess just that is consistent with the preamble, but the question specifically was how to think about if a scenario prevailed, how the cash proceeds in terms of that waterfall might play out. Is it documented, or is that at the point of a negotiation with?
Well, I think you have to look at it subject by subject and issue by issue. So I think there are many factors like those that you described that the board would need to take into account: stranded costs, pension funds. You know, all these usual things. I mean, a number of you have had a crack at analysing, you know, asset sales in the past, and there are many different variables. And frankly, they're different with every single idea. So there's no kind of pro forma or model.
Sure. Okay. Understood. Thanks.
So if I pick up on raw material cost inflation, I mean, the situation hasn't really changed from when we were talking on this topic in May. So in the previous financial year, 17-18, we had, a reasonable slug of input cost inflation. As we have come into the present financial year, we are continuing to see input costs going up, but to a significantly lesser extent, and it's, you know, the amount that we are needing to recover is probably more of the order of a third of what we had to recover in the previous financial year. And of course, you know, I would remind you that you know, the first thing that we try to do is to see how we can mitigate those, the need to pass that on to customers through other actions and economies that we can put in place. Going to customers is really the last place we want to go in terms of price increases, but it was necessary at the end of the last financial year. It was also necessary at the beginning of this financial year. Those negotiations are all completed in a satisfactory manner, we are set in terms of where we're headed for this financial year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you once again. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. Your next question comes from the line of Nicola Mallard. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Kevin, you mentioned a possible sort of second half waiting. I think it was in reference to the savings for your logistics work. Is there anything else we need to consider? I mean, I know we're only at the end of Q1, but anything else we need to consider in terms of first half, second half waiting that's worth flagging at this point, whether there's a particular, you know, revenue skew from the launches that you've mentioned or marketing costs or anything else that it's worth bringing out?
Alistair. So, I mean, I think the other one that I kind of touched on earlier, Nicola, was phasing of sales in the international business. I think that's the other one I'd point to. Weather is always the imponderable, so I don't really want to sort of go there. So I think those would be the main things that you've already picked up on.
Okay. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. No further question at this time. Please continue.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, operator. Thank you very much, everybody, for dialing in. And those of you who are coming to the AGM, we'll see you later. Otherwise, have a great day.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.